Cessna insources work from Avcorp. EAA announces a replacement for Earl Lawrence. And aerospace is booming in Alabama. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 21st, 2010. Cessna is bringing some outsourced work back home. Avcorp Industries is a Canadian company with about 500 employees, which has been building metal, composite, and plastic parts and aerostructures for business, regional, and commercial jets with customers that have included Boeing, Bombardier, and Cessna. Avcorp confirms it will continue to fulfill orders for Cessna during a transition of its work back to Cessna plants, with a timeline yet to be determined and still under discussion. In a statement on its website dated Friday, Avcorp assures the industry, quote, "We believe that our current workflow and other and new business opportunities will provide a sustainable business for Avcorp. In addition, the capital restructuring and financing activities undertaken during 2009 and 2010 have provided a less expensive cost of capital and debt service requirements, which will assist Avcorp through this period of transition," unquote. Avcorp also mentioned remuneration from Cessna for ending the relationship. Sean Elliott, a member of EAA staff since 1996, has been named the organization's VP of Government and Industry Relations. He succeeds Earl Lawrence, who left EAA a few weeks ago, to become director of the FAA's Small Airplane Directorate. Elliott has been EAA's Director of Aircraft Operations since 2001, and he'll continue in that role. He has extensive government relations experience in that position and is Executive Director and President of the National Association of Flight Instructors from 1996 through 2004. EAA President Rod Hightower observes, quote, "EAA's government advocacy programs are among the most important priorities to our members. Sean's background and expertise will be invaluable on our senior team as EAA continues and builds on its leadership in meeting the challenges in the government advocacy area and in growing aviation through participation," unquote. Sean is an 8,000-hour ATP who holds B-17 and DC-3 type ratings. Ahead of EAA on his resume, he worked as a flight instructor and training manager at Embry-Riddle's Daytona Beach campus. An aerospace boom appears to be coming to Alabama. Aerojet says that over the next few months, it will hire 25 local engineers to help the company provide collaborative engineering expertise, program management support, and business development outreach to government and prime customers located in the Huntsville area and across the southeastern U.S. The additional engineers will include technical expertise in solid, liquid, and gel propulsion, warheads, specialty metals, and fire suppression systems. Aerojet says specific job announcements and the start of the hiring process will be coming around the first of the year. The local lead for Aerojet will continue to be Claude Baldwin, Director of Operations for Aerojet's Huntsville office. Up next on ANN, in helicopters, skill and luck are both helpful. NASA's Mars Odyssey breaks a record and still has a future. And a master plan for the KSC Visitor Complex is in the works. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 21st. I'm Paul Plack. Almost everything helicopters do in the working world involve flight within the no-man's land area of the height velocity curve, at night or in poor weather, and or in close proximity to terrain or man-made objects. It was that last one that bit the pilot of a Bell 206 conducting power line inspection December 10th in Isom, Kentucky. NTSB reports in its prelim that the pilot had two passengers on board during the VFR inspection flight conducted under Part 135. While cruising at between 60 and 70 knots, the pilot says he struck the static line, a 3/8-inch diameter cable that helps protect the power lines from lightning strikes. The 206 was equipped with a cable cutter mounted below the main rotor mast, but it only partially cut the cable. The pilot received minor injuries and the two passengers were not hurt. The helicopter sustained substantial damage to the support post around the pilot's side door and damage to the fuselage on the front and pilot's side of the helicopter. One rotor blade sustained damage about a foot in from the tip. The pilot, who's ATP rated, said at no time was control lost, but he hurried to get the machine down in the nearest suitable spot, which turned out to be a parking lot about a quarter mile from the location of the wire strike. He got it down with no damage to the skids. NASA's Mars Odyssey, which was launched in 2001, broke a record last Wednesday, becoming the longest-serving spacecraft at the Red Planet. The probe began its 3,340th day in Martian orbit at 8:55 p.m. Eastern Time, December 15th, to break the record set by NASA's Mars Global Surveyor, which orbited Mars from 1997 to 2006. Odyssey's longevity has enabled monitoring of seasonal changes on Mars and made possible detailed mapping. The probe's discovery of hydrogen below the surface in 2002 hinted at frozen water there and prompted NASA's Phoenix Mars Lander mission, which confirmed the theory in 2008. Odyssey carried the first experiment sent to Mars specifically to prepare for human missions and found radiation levels around the planet from solar flares and cosmic rays are 2 to 3 times higher than around Earth. The orbiter has also relayed communications from Phoenix, the rovers Spirit and Opportunity, the Mars Global Surveyor, and the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. NASA will continue to count on Odyssey to support the landing of the Mars Science Laboratory in 2012. Odyssey was built by Lockheed Martin. Jean-Jacques Dordain, Director General of the European Space Agency, and Steve McLean, President of the Canadian Space Agency, signed a new cooperation agreement between ESA and Canada last week that will extend their 30-year partnership for another decade, until 2020. In the early 1970s, ESA and Canada started working together to develop the communications technology satellite. Based on that success, the first cooperation agreement was signed in 1979. The latest agreement is the fifth. The company that operates the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Center is taking the experience to the next level, or to a higher orbit if you prefer. PGAV Destinations, described as a global leader in the planning and design of cultural and entertainment destinations, was selected by Delaware North Company's Parks and Resorts at KSC Incorporated, that's the operators of the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, to design a 10-year master plan. Design work has begun to transform NASA's Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex into a place where explorers of all ages can tour America's spaceport to engage with the people and machines that shape the future of our world. An emphasis will be placed on the connection between NASA and the everyday lives of the residents of the planet. The marquee attraction would be a $100 million exhibit displaying a retired space shuttle. The KSC Visitor Center is one of dozens of venues which have submitted bids to receive one of three available shuttles when the fleet is retired. One would think it has as good a chance as anybody. Still ahead, FireX makes its first autonomous flight at Yuma. Boeing and Ethiopian Airlines team up to deliver hospital equipment. And who knew Santa flew with ADS-B? You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for December 21st. I'm Paul Flack. A new optionally piloted helicopter called FireX was successfully test flown by Bell Helicopter and Northrop Grumman under full autonomous control December 10th. Development is being funded by the companies, and the flight at the Yuma Proving Ground in Arizona comes less than a year after development began. FireX is a UAV adapted from the venerable Bell 407 helicopter. Integration and flight of intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance sensor payloads and cargo carrying demonstrations are planned for next year. The companies say FireX will be able to conduct ISR missions up to 16 hours long, carrying more than 3,200 pounds of fuel, payloads, and cargo carried internally or externally. Boeing says it partnered with Ethiopian Airlines and Seattle Anesthesia Outreach for last week's 777-200LR transport of much-needed anesthesia equipment to Black Lion Hospital in Ethiopia. Liz Warman, director of Boeing Global Corporate Citizenship for the Northwest Region, commented, quote, "Boeing and its airline partners have been working together to fill what is sometimes empty cargo space to help bring relief to people around the globe. Our humanitarian delivery flights program is another way we can continue leveraging our resources to help those in need," unquote. Seattle Anesthesia Outreach VP and co-founder Dr. Mark Cullen explained, quote, "These supplies will prove critical when a group of 20 doctors travel to Ethiopia in February as part of our ongoing humanitarian trips to the region," unquote. Black Lion Hospital is the largest in Ethiopia, and it's the largest teaching hospital for the University of Addis Medical School. And finally today, Santa Claus's annual cargo flight will go more smoothly and quickly this year, and the FAA is taking credit. The agency has placed on its website a tongue-in-cheek tutorial called The Flight of Santa One, outlining how next-gen technology will improve the flight experience for St. Nick this year and increase his productivity. Putting a little subtle pressure on next-gen stakeholders to get with the program, the FAA boldly forecasts that, quote, "Next year, Santa will be even faster, and the year after that, faster still. That's because Santa is employing next-gen techniques and technologies that the FAA is building to help planes get to their destinations quicker than ever before. That means Santa will be back home to the North Pole in no time, working with his elves on next year's Christmas," unquote. And what airline executive would want to hold up progress like this, arguing about federal subsidies for equipage? The site also has a more serious 6-minute video, intended to educate consumers about the benefits NextGen will bring to passengers and the environment. You can check out the fun at www.faa.gov/go/Santa. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's just days till the LSA show that sets the tone for a whole year's expectations. We'll get an update on the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida, from Chairman Bob Wood. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.